Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates my training in psychology and scripture studies to help understand the Gospels and to seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. Today's podcast is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. This Gospel will be read in churches on May 26, 2024. There are two points I want to draw your attention to. The Gospel of Matthew was written for the early Christians who were of Jewish origins. These early Christians were interested in how Jesus actually fulfilled the prophecies and how the prophets had predicted the Messiah and how he would appear. So we have several references to Isaiah that are being fulfilled by Jesus. The early Christians from Jewish origins struggled with the notion that the Jews were the chosen people. They would certainly be wondering if they would lose their chosen status by joining the new religious group. The message is clear in this gospel that the invitation to be a member of God's chosen people has been extended to all. They would not lose their status as God's chosen people. God's creation is not limited by boundaries, birth, or ancestral history. Jesus was critical of those who relied on their status of being children of Abraham. We see this in John chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus pointed out how often their behavior did not match their status as children of God. Relying on our membership to a religious group is not relevant to God, but is rather how we live our faith that is important. The second point I want to make concerning this scriptural passage, which is in fact an ascension account, is how the passage describes the disciples doubting, yet still worshiping. Despite the fact that the disciples had gone through the crucifixion and resurrection, some still doubted. Yet, in spite of their doubts, the disciples followed through with the call to go to Galilee. I wonder what role doubt plays in our adult faith. I often hear the lament of people wishing they had the faith they had when they were children. Somehow, as we move towards adulthood, we lose the trust we once had. We may even criticize someone who trusts as being naive. What has happened to our ability to trust? I propose that doubt is an essential part of adult faith. It looks, though, that we are called to have a childlike faith. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. What exactly does that mean, having a childlike faith that is different from childish faith? What is it about a childlike faith that we should be focusing on? Ideally, it is trust and humility that characterize a child's faith. Faith is not solely based on knowledge, facts, and that which can be verified. Faith is more like a process on how we look at events and situations in our lives. We cannot be 100% sure of faith. Faith does involve choice, a willingness to accept the intervention of something beyond ourselves. Faith involves humility and accepting that we may not know everything, that we are indeed limited. Humility leads us to recognize that there may be something greater than ourselves. It's normal and understandable to want to have facts, to consider the mathematical probability. Is it miraculous intervention or simply random chance? We have intelligence, and so it is understandable that we wouldn't try to explain events in a logical and consistent manner. Faith involves trust in God. For many people, trust is problematic. They've had their trust broken. How many of us can say that our trust in people has been broken at various points in our own lives? Sometimes our struggles with faith come from a dysfunctional view of God. If you don't believe that God is forgiving, you will miss the times when you have been forgiven. You're not even looking for signs that you have been forgiven. It's what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sometimes we ask for God's intervention, and if it doesn't happen the way we expect, we become upset, believing that God has not answered our prayers. Would you respond differently if you knew why the outcome was different? I often hear my clients lamenting about some past decision gone wrong. They not only label their choice as a mistake, but they wish they had made the other choice. I have to point out that even the other choice would have its own shortcomings. Sometimes people ask to be relieved of the consequences of their actions. The point I want to make here is to draw your attention to the fact that consequences of our actions can be a wise teacher. Sometimes we ask for God's intervention for something that we can do ourselves. I can understand why God would hesitate to help us when we need to learn to do it ourselves. I encourage people who are struggling with their faith to pray for the eyes of faith, having the ability to recognize that what is happening here is more than just chance or highly unlikely event. I encourage people to pray for the ears of faith, that they may hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We live in a psychologically noisy environment. It's so easy for the voice of God to be drowned out. I urge you to spend some time reflecting on who God is for you. The answer may give you insight about how you see God, your expectations of God, and how you allow God to impact your life. One of the questions I ask people is, what does God have to do to get your attention? This is another way of looking at what God means to you and how you expect God to reach out to you. Don't make the same mistake as that of the Pharisees, who missed recognizing the Messiah. For them, Jesus simply did not fit into their expectations. For our faith to grow, we need to recognize experiences and moments that indicate God's presence in our lives. Without these experiences, our faith will become dry and useless. The problem is that people often miss these events in their daily lives. Developing the ability to recognize the Spirit of God working in our lives is critical for our faith development. Reflecting back on difficult times in our lives often gives us insight as to how the Spirit was working in our lives. Hindsight might be better than foresight when it comes to faith development. I'd like to remind you of the podcast from March 31st, when we talked about the so-called Doubting Thomas, who had difficulty believing in the resurrection. He gives us valuable insight on how to increase our faith, to be specific in what you need, to be available, in other words, and to be present and open to the Spirit. Let us not be afraid of the times we doubt. Even the disciples experienced times of doubt. But let us, like Thomas, choose to be open to the Spirit and recognize that God does not always reveal himself to us in the ways that we would expect. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of Matthew, who describes Jesus giving his disciples instructions about ministry. If this is the first time you've heard my podcast and are interested in hearing more, I urge you to listen to my podcast listed on the website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the Gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link is https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. I'd also like to thank my team, Heather Patel Doherty and Richard Coulomb, who play an important part in the preparation of this podcast. If you have any questions or concerns, I can be reached by email at peter.doherty@gmail.com. God bless and wish you the best. Take care.